This is Matins with Khanya Ditabe and Colin York.
And it's Tuesday morning, so you know how it works. Every Tuesday we get a Catholic comment or comment on all things current and Catholic or whatever that's happening in the world. Comment from Father Lawrence Mduduzi Ndlovu. Father.
Good morning, Khanya.
You know, today is 17 years since 9/11, hey?
Has it been that long?
It's been that long, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Gosh, yes, yes, yes. What horrible, horrible, horrible day. I remember it as if it was yesterday. Anyway, a lot of evil has visited the world. And I think when we think back at that time, it changed. That event changed the world in that, to this day, when you go through security check after security check after security check at airports, you know that it's because of 9/11 that everything was beefed up everywhere in the world. To this day, when you have to go through hard processes of getting visas, interviews, what have you, you know that is the result of 9/11. The world is as interconnected, is even more interconnected now because of that singular event. And of course, the families and people who lost their lives. Can you imagine? It's the same like the firefighters.
Yes.
People who woke up in the morning, went to work, sat in their office, only to have a plane just plunge into your office, and that's the end of it. That's quite a sight. And I think that should never visit our lives again.
Terrorism, you know, that was the word that we had so much of that
oh
year.
My
and
dear.
Of course,
it was, you know,
years.
It barely moved from the number, I don't know, number 1,600 in the whatever, you know,
and then moved up the list,
the word used list, to number one. And the war, as they called it, the war against, I mean, that event really sent the world into a spin. The Americas going to Iraq looking for things that they don't know.
Yes.
Just out of a sense of revenge. The worst decisions were made after that. And I think there's also a lesson for all of us, as spiritual persons and as religious people. Never do anything from a place of hatred or a place of revenge. After the war against Iraq, plunging an entire country, the Middle East, into rubbles, creating terror organizations and all of that, because people acted out of hatred and out of revenge. The maxim of one's actions should always, always be noble. Then you know that something positive, something good will come out of it. And if we don't learn from history, then we're a bunch of fools, living our days like, I don't know, as if this has never happened before.
And I remember Nelson Mandela clearly saying, you know, Hans Blix is the man, and he has gone into Iraq and he said there are no weapons of mass destruction, and I trust what he says. And George Bush still said, we are going.
There was no need for that war, so-called war on terror. There was no need for it. I remember the contributions of President Mbeki. You know, he himself, the night before the United Kingdom was to join the America as its ally in the air war against terror, phoning Tony Blair personally saying, don't do it, there is no such thing. But because of anger, because of hatred and revenge driven by darkness, people chose not to see that. They were hungry for some kind of revenge. And look at what it's done. The Middle East is where it is today. The vulnerabilities that you see, the terrorist groups, ISIS, whatever, are a direct consequence of the weakening of systems of government in the Middle East, causing lawlessness and things and groups to exist undeterred. That's what you get if you do, if you work from a place, from a maxim of darkness.
And of course, then this means that there's also a place for the church's social teachings to really be at play here, right?
All the time. All the time. You know, one of the best things that had happened to me growing up, I went to a workshop many, when, you know, our youth office in Johannesburg, at least at that time, there was one time when something dynamic was going on. And I would say it was when you get departments working together. And I remember Sister Sheila Mary teaching about the Catholic social teachings to us as young leaders.
Yes.
And I say this because to this day, every single decision that I have to make that affects plus one, somebody plus one, myself and whoever, I always begin from a place of human dignity. You see, if you have to go to war, you have to ask yourself, what am I dignifying? Am I helping someone up? Am I changing someone's condition? If I have to make an everyday decision, the question, whether I work in a government office, whether I sweep the street, in the back of your mind is, who am I dignifying? Who am I lifting up? If the answer is, if the answer is myself, then you know, no. Perhaps not. I need to rethink this.
And you mentioned that, Father, we're now in September in the Heritage Month. And, you know, and I'm looking at your People's Renaissance article as well on online. what a time that was in South Africa between 1995 and 2005.
You know, as I say in that article, that a lot of people write, you know, I was reading about the Harlem Renaissance, even the Sophia Town Renaissance. And I used to think, you know, who creates these ideas? Who creates these terms? People. And I was talking principally in that article, especially for Heritage Month, for the experience that one had growing up between in 1995 and 2005, just after the democratic dispensation was just realized. The amount of artistry, work, fashion, Black Pride, and all of those, it was a very exciting time. Why was it so exciting? I think it's because there was an air of hope, that there was something so optimistic about that period. And then, of course, after 2005, we sort of, okay, fine, this is not coming as fast as we thought, but it was really an exciting time. And I people would ask, why is this priest sort of writing about non-priestly things? And I think that people have to, we have to open to our people. Certainly thinking now about also Chris Chatteris's article, Father Chris Chatteris's article, we have to open to our people our very humanity. I'm not interested in the priesthood of stardom. I'm not interested in the priesthood of a superstardom, unapproachable sort of father is the answer. I'm interested in the people, in the priesthood of the people, where people are in their everyday experience. So if somebody said, do you know anything about poetry? I'd probably say yes. You know, what's your favorite opera? I'd probably tell them, because that too is the condition of the priest. Humanity is also the condition of the priest. This pedestal nonsense, you know, you bump into, sorry, I'm ranting a bit, but you bump into, you're sitting with friends, whether it's a restaurant or it's a small pub or whatever, and somebody is almost about to drop dead because you're sitting at a pub and you're a priest. Get over yourself, pull yourself together. I've got friends, I'm a priest. Anyway, yes, let's continue.
Yes, and of course, the clericalism is what Pope Francis denouncing. I think that's the word.
Yes, and I think we have to be careful of it, because as Chris Chatteris said in that very important article, it's a power thing. It's a driver of power. And once one believes that he's got power, then he no longer sees himself as the same as those that he is with. And I think the paradigm of service, not one of power, the paradigm of service is important. And I don't think that the paradigm of power is necessarily created by the priest himself. It comes out of a culture, as it were, of excessive reverence, if you know what I mean, from the faithful themselves. I think they respect us. I think they're proud of us. I think they love us. But it can go mad. And it depends on whose ears it falls to. Some people believe it. Some of us could believe it. Yes, I'm special. Yes, I'm extraordinary. But not really. You see, what makes a priest extraordinary is the priesthood of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ himself, you see. So who is extraordinary? Jesus Christ himself. Not necessarily this vehicle that is Lawrence Ndlovu. And I think this is an important conversation. One, as far as I'm concerned, we need to host at some point, of course, so says the powerless man, but we need to host a round table. Take Chris Chatteris's article as the working document for that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be interested to have, as priests, as people of God, and see, maybe I really would recommend that piece of writing.
Well researched from what I see, and really well thought, and at the same time, really talking from experience by Father Chris Chatteris.
And I'm glad that it's a priest who wrote that, because if it was a lay person who had written that, there would be some attitude from our colleagues as priests. How dare, you know, how judgmental. But because he knows it, he's reflected about it, and he's correct. I'm just excited that as a young priest, one gets to read and see such reflections early on in my career, in my priestly career. Unlike people who have had this kind of life as their daily bread. I mean, Chris Chatteris is talking there about the fact that you do, the priesthood does attract abusers, does attract people who, you know, siphon money and miss bullies. It will always attract that because there's no systems of monitoring. You know, in your job, you know you have a supervisor. You know, in your job, you know that you have to answer to somebody. In the case of the priesthood, I'm sitting in Ready Board right now. I'll probably never see Archbishop Budi until he calls some meeting somewhere. He will probably never see his own boss. It's not like he's going to go, not like the Holy Father will send him a written warning, you know, about something that he said. No, the distances of supervision demand a kind of person who can be at least prepared to be committed to doing the right thing without being monitored. Now, that's a high virtue, to do the right thing without being monitored. And I really am grateful to Chris Chatteris for that article. I really am. And it is my hope that it will go into seminaries. It's a document. It really is a memorandum, a manifesto of the priesthood, and I'm happy about it.
What's Father Lawrence talking about? Go to spotlight.africa and just check the latest piece by Father Chris Chatteris, a Jesuit. Of course, he's out in Cape Town at the seminary there. And as Father Lawrence says, it's definitely a good, it can be used as a working document. Father Lawrence, coming back to, you know, the people, the reverence that you were talking about, I think it's definitely out of respect. And out of, you know, when I see a priest, I see this person in persona Christi.
Capitis, yes.
Yes. So there is that, you know, there is that respect.
And I don't want to downplay the reverence.
Yes.
It's important. It's important for the office of the priesthood, because it's the office of Jesus Christ himself. And at the same time, therefore, it's also a cross on the person of the priest, if you know what I mean. Because it's the office of Jesus Christ, it demands reverence. And I think our people respect us, and our people, as I say, love us. And even in my short time as a parish priest in Rodiport, one has received nothing but love. Some night people, as usual, you get them anywhere, but nothing but love. And so it's not because I'm saying, no, just go mad and disrespect your priest. Not at all. I'm merely saying that if you look at what for some people, some priests, it's encouraging. It's humbling. In fact, it's a bit too overwhelming sometimes. I mean, some people are not even my mother's age, not even my grandmother's age, but so much respect for me. But at the same time, if in the hands, at the hands, that kind of reverence, at the hands of a drunk, power drunk person, you can go gaga on you.
And that's Father Lawrence Mduduzi Ndlovu. I think, Father, we'll have to leave it at that. I know there were many other things that we could discuss this morning.
Oh, indeed. This is important.
This is important.
I would encourage, once again, go to spotlight.africa. It's a beautiful reflection, a portal on society, on the church, and all of that. I think it offers good reflections. Go to spotlight.africa, find Chris Chatris's article, and read it. I would encourage my colleague priests to read it. And I would encourage the people of God to read it, especially those who are discerning a life of whether they want to be priests, going to seminary, and all of that. Read Chris Chatris's work.
And Father, you spoke about the people's renaissance between 1995 and 2005. One song came to mind. Listen to this.
Oh man, where were you?
Father Lawrence Mduduzi.
Oh man, we lived through amazing times.
In South Africa.
And I'm so grateful.
Thank you very much, Father, and God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
This is Matins with Khanya Ditabe and Colin York.